Praise the Lord. Can I maybe have y'all kind of come over here in the middle a little bit that way? Right there. How was everybody's week? Was it okay? Yeah? All right. Did anybody go to a fiesta? Yeah? Okay. All right. Anybody watching the Spurs games? Yeah? All right. We play tonight, you know. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you a true story. This was told me a couple of years back. Actually, I must say about 10 years back. It was a young college girl who came to the church. And she was going to UTSA. And she had said that when she was young, she had an accident where she had burned a partial of her foot. And so she was in a hospital, and she had some, they had to, of course, scrape if any of you have been burned, but with some real, like, second degree, you know, burns like this, where they have to scrape the dead skin off and then allow the new skin to kind of come back. She didn't have a skin graft, which they were considering. And so she had to undergo physical therapy in order for her to walk a little bit better again, because it was tight on that. And so as she grew up, she said that she always wanted to be a physical therapist. And so she was attending UTSA. She was in their science program there. And so she was trying to get her prerequisite courses so she could apply for a physical therapy program. So she went semester after semester, and she said that she made higher grades than most people in her classes. And so it came down to her final year, and it came down to the final semester, and it came down to the final class. She said that her grades were very good, but it was just short enough of the entrance requirements for a physical therapy program. So she was hoping that this last class, that she would get a grade that would raise her GPA. Because she was just kind of like right there, like on the border, just almost. But she needed just a little, get over that little hump in order to qualify. So she was hoping that this last class would get a high enough grade that would boost her GPA high enough to be able to meet that requirement. So she said that she got the grade back in class. And she said that she basically said she held back the tears. And she said she walked out of class, and she walked to her car in there in the parking lot there at UTSA. She said that she opened the door, and when she sat in the car, she said that she just burst forth into tears, because her grade was a high grade, but she knew that it wasn't high enough to put her over that little plateau that she needed. That's a true story. This morning we're going to be talking about two disciples who had a similar experience, not necessarily as far as grade-wise, but we had that young girl, her dream of being a physical therapist was basically shattered. She could not meet the entry requirements, so that whole field was out for her. And so we have two disciples in our message today who is also going to experience a loss of dreams as well, a loss of hope. And so I'm going to ask that you would turn to your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Starting with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to come alongside us this morning. I ask that the Spirit of God will open our eyes just as Jesus opened the eyes of these two disciples. I pray that our hearts will be open, and I pray that our understanding will be open and that we will receive your word just as those two disciples received the word, the opening of the scriptures to them. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, Amen. When you look at the previous verses, from verses 1 through 12, those verses gives us a little bit of background to our story. Because it is in those verses, it is in the morning, early morning, as they mentioned to Jesus on the road. They are with the other disciples. The women had gone to the tomb, and they had returned back to where these disciples were staying and had told them that basically Jesus is alive, he has risen. But in the scriptures it says that they didn't believe them. They said it seemed like foolish talk from these women, that they didn't believe them. And so I don't know what time of the day that these two disciples decided they were going to leave Jerusalem and they were going to travel to a town called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, whether that is their hometown or whether they were going to meet somebody else, but it seems like it probably was their hometown. Now, the scripture tells us the name of one of the disciples, named Cleopas. But if you go to John chapter 19, you will find that it says that the wife of Cleopas, it says her name was Mary, and she was there at the crucifixion. These two disciples, it seems that they are a husband and wife, and that they were in Jerusalem. They were there for the Passover, but they were also present at the crucifixion. They were present at the morning that the women had come to where the disciples were at, and they were there with them and had broke the news of his resurrection. But they didn't believe it. So at some point in time of that day, they decided to leave Jerusalem and to go back to their town of Emmaus. Now, when we look at the first part that I want to say of our message, of our story, is in Luke chapter 24, 13 through 27. Cleopas and his wife, Mary, are traveling on the road, going to Emmaus. They are talking with each other about what has occurred that day. Now, you've got to remember, they were disciples. They believed in Jesus. They trusted in Jesus. And then it seems at some point, I don't know how far they had traveled from Jerusalem, whether they were midpoint or whether they just got outside of the city limits of Jerusalem or what point. But it says that Jesus came up alongside of them as they were walking. And as he was listening to their conversation, he asked them, says, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" The scripture says here in verse 17, it says, "They stood still, their faces downcast. And then one of them named Cleopas asked them, 'Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?'" And he says, "What things?" And so they began to tell him about Jesus, how they had believed that he was a prophet. They had believed that he was the one. Because when you look there, and it says there that we, in verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." We had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Now, I want you to understand, theologically, these two disciples, you have to remember, their hope in Israel was on the coming Messiah. And they were raised with that. Now, Cleopas, being a male who had access to the synagogue and who had the training for the scriptures, whereas the women didn't have that. They couldn't be in it. They had to have a back place of the temple there. And so they didn't have that access to the theological understanding that the males had at that day. Now, you got to remember, their hope was rooted theologically in the Messiah. The Messiah who was going to come, who was going to restore the kingdom of God. It was going to basically, they had hope at their particular time, at that point, that they would throw off the rule of Rome and that Israel would become an independent nation again. But not only just an independent nation, but they will become a kingdom like unto David in David's time. This is what they had hoped, and that's what they said. "We had hoped he was the one," meaning the Messiah. These disciples had placed all of their hopes, all of their dreams, everything in Jesus. And his death is what shattered their hope. It shattered their dreams. You know, when a person loses hope, when a person believes in something, in a person, or believes in something that is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, it doesn't turn out the way that you wanted it, doesn't turn out the way that you expected it, doesn't turn out the way that you had hoped, the way that you had planned, people go through a certain reactions to it. Now, the scripture says that their faces were downcast. You can go to the Psalms 41, 42, 43. You will find that David, as he goes through his experiences, and he says, "O my soul, why are you downcast within me?" When it mentions about being downcast, we're talking about a depression. We're talking about a person who has lost something, and now they are a big letdown has taken place. Now, some of the reactions that people have to expectations that don't turn out, to hopes that don't turn out, to dreams that don't turn out, some people will go into depression. Some people will go into denial. Some people will go into isolation. They'll isolate themselves from people, and they'll just think about it and think about it and just kind of be in that kind of a condition. Other people will become disillusioned about life, about everything. They'll begin to question everything, and they just turn inward. They just turn inward, and they're just consumed about the loss. That's all they could think about. That's all that matters is what has not turned out, what has not taken place. You know, the number one enemy of hope is hope unfulfilled. You can go to the Proverbs, and you can find this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. A hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred, meaning hope that is put off, makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Now you think about it. When something that you hope for, something that you expect, something that you want, something that you desire is not happening, is not taking place, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and time goes by and time goes by, it says it makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When it fulfills something you are expecting, something you are wanting, something you are desiring, when it happens, you know the kind of joy that you get from that, that it finally has come. You know, when I look at children, children all have hopes and dreams. They all have expectations for their lives, even as little as they are. They have hopes of a happy childhood. Children, they just want to play. You know, that's all they want to do. They just want to play. They just want to just be happy. They want to have, but they want to be in a happy family. And then even as children, they even have dreams of being somebody, whether it's a baseball player or whether it's a skater, whatever it may be, they even have dreams of what they would like to be when they grow up. But I can tell you that divorce, a death of a parent, abuse, sickness, poverty, many times will burst that dream that children have. Now, teenagers, what kind of dreams and hopes, expectations do teenagers have? They have probably the hope of being popular in school. They have hopes of dating Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful. Some children teenagers have dreams or hopes of playing sports. Others of making good grades. Maybe they may have a dream of a dream car that they could get in high school. But I can tell you that when you're not popular like you had hoped that you would be, when you experience breakups, when you experience rejection, When you experience not making the team or maybe not making the grades, all of those things work to destroy dreams and hopes that even teenagers have. Now, adults, most of us here are adults. What kind of dreams do you and I have as adults? A young adult dreams of getting married. Meaning that one person that you think that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Meeting that one person that you think you're going to have a family with. Adults dream of having an education. Even older adults, they go back to school because they had to quit school and they had to work. And now they want to get that education that they never had before. Adults have dreams of having a career, maybe in a particular field. Adults have dreams of having a home, a house. Adults dream of retirement. You know, when you're a young adult, you don't even think about that. But as you get older, you do think about it. But I can tell you this. Divorce, job loss, sickness, disease, disability, bankruptcy, your children or your grandchildren getting in trouble with the law or other troubles, alcohol or drugs, all of these things seems to destroy hopes and dreams and expectations, even as adults. Now, when you think about grandparents, now what do grandparents have dreams of? What do they have expectations of? Well, most grandparents, they dream of seeing their children grow up. They have dreams of their children being successful in life. They dream of their children being married. They dream of grandchildren. They dream of retirement. They dream of travel. They dream of not being in so bad of health as they get older. But I can tell you, death, divorce, sickness, disability, a lack of money in retirement, your children, your grandchildren getting in trouble, having a lot of problems, all of these things seem to destroy your hope, your dreams, and your expectations. When I look at these two disciples, I believe that they are able to cope with the loss of hope, with the disappointment, the disillusionment in life. They are able to cope with the shattering of their dreams of Jesus. We hope that He was the one. What I saw that they did was that they faced it. They didn't deny it. Because they were a married couple, they didn't isolate themselves from the other one. They faced it together. They talked about it together. They openly talked about it face to face. They talked about their loss. They talked about a loss of hope. We had hope that He was the one. They talked about how they felt about it. And I believe that you and I, that we can cope with loss. We can cope with our dreams being shattered. We can cope with expectations that don't turn out if you and I will face it, and that we will openly talk about it and get it out there rather than withdrawing, isolating ourselves, and then just keeping it inside us. When I look at the second part of this drama that's going on here on the road to Emmaus. When we look at verses 25 through 32, as they walked along the road, and as they talked about all that had gone on, they talked about how they felt about it, then we can see Jesus. It says that He began to open up the Scriptures concerning His death and His resurrection. And then as they were approaching the town, and it had to be late afternoon, early evening, as the sun was going down. Now you got to remember, they are out on a road, a dark road that's just beginning. They know that's going to be happening. They didn't have street lights back then. They didn't have like on the freeways lights and stuff like that. Have you ever been in a country road, out in the country, whether driving or whether walking, and the sun went down? Man, it's pitch black. It is pitch black. So think about it. This is what was starting to take place. The darkness was coming upon them. And so they invited them to come into the into their home. They reached the Emmaus, and Jesus agreed. So they came into the place where they were at, and it says that they sat at the table, that Jesus took the bread, He broke it, and He gave it to them. And it says that their eyes were open now, and they recognized Him. I don't know about you, but sometimes when a person's hope or dreams or expectations have been lost, and they are disillusioned. When you're disillusioned, you're not really sure what to believe. You're not really sure where you're going. You're not really sure what to do. You're just kind of in this state. Kind of in this state of being. You're kind of immobilized in a sense. But some people's ability to move on with their lives is hindered. Sometimes people get stuck, and they can't move on past that experience. But sometimes the only way a person can move on from a significant loss is to have a divine intervention of God's healing. When you look at verse 32... I'll start with verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. Then in verse 32 it says, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? And when He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. I believe that people, and you and I, we can regain hope when God begins the healing process. Now, what did Jesus do to begin the healing process of restoring hope back into these two disciples' lives? The first thing that He did was that He opened the Scriptures to them. I can tell you, lots of times when people go through a significant loss, the last thing they want to do is read the Bible. The last thing they want to do is come to church. They kind of want to just stay away. But I'm here to tell you, it is the Scriptures that you need. Because it is through the Scriptures that God is going to speak to you. That God's going to touch you. God's going to open up something that will speak to you in your situation. And the second thing that Jesus did is that he, in this case, he broke the bread. Now they were familiar. Make it remember, these were disciples. They had been with Jesus before when he had broken the bread and had distributed. They recognized that event. They recognized it. It had meaning to them. It connected them to Jesus. Sometimes the Lord will use anything that will reconnect you back to Him. The first thing was the Scriptures reconnecting back to Him. The second thing was the breaking of bread, reconnecting back to Him. But God can use a song. God could use a fellowship with another person. God could use a prayer from another person or your own prayer. God could use communion. God could use anything to connect you back to Him that will just kind of open you up and then reconnect you. And it's those kinds of things that seem to bring healing to us. The third part of this story is that after they recognize Him and He disappears from them, it says that they sat there. Now, you think about it. You invite somebody over to your house and you're at the table, kitchen table, dining table, wherever it be, and you're talking at the table, all of a sudden this person disappears. I mean, wouldn't that freak you out? Right? It would freak you out. Like, wow, what the heck happened? Now, I would imagine they were probably freaked out, but somehow they got over that, and they said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us when He opened the Scriptures to us as we walked along the road? Wasn't it touching us? Wasn't it ministering to us? And so what they said, so they decided to go back to Jerusalem. Now, it would seem like that they left right away and they went back in the nighttime. But I don't know. I mean, you know, what do people tell you? They said, man, it's late. You know what? Just stay here. Stay home. And you know what? Just go tomorrow. You know, when you wake up tomorrow, go ahead and go and do whatever you need to do. But it's too late, man. So I don't know whether they stayed until morning and they left in the morning, or whether they just got up at nighttime and they just headed back to Jerusalem. Now, either way, they came back to where the other disciples. Look there. In verse 33, it said, they got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them. The 11 and those with them assembled together and saying it. Now, when they came here, they were saying to these two disciples, hey, it's true. The Lord has risen, has appeared to Simon, has appeared to Peter. So when they heard this initial breaking of new news to them, then they broke their news to them. It says, while they were still, it says, then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now you think about it. These two disciples go back to Jerusalem. They go back to the same house where the disciples are at, where they were with them earlier in the morning. And they go back and they hear some new news about Jesus resurrected. He had appeared to Peter. And then they said, well, you know what? He appeared to us too. And then as they were talking about all that was going on, then Jesus appears to all of them. And if you read on in the same chapter, it says that He opened all of their understanding concerning the Scriptures, concerning His death and His resurrection. You see, when we look back at the first part of this story, they had experienced a significant loss. A loss of hope, a loss of dreams, a loss of expectations. And that is a universal experience throughout the world. Everybody in this world will experience loss. You're going to experience loss when your mom dies, when your dad dies, your brother dies, your sister dies, your husband dies, your wife dies, your children die, some friend dies. You're going to experience a significant loss when a disability comes that really impacts you. You're going to experience a significant loss whether it comes through divorce, whether it comes through a breakup, whether it comes through a loss of your job, a loss of your career, a loss of your home. Things are going to happen to you and I. Now, they all come in all colors and all shapes and all sizes. Not all losses are major. A lot of them are just minor ones that impact us for a moment, for a little bit, and then we move on. You know, when I was young, and whenever I got fired from a job or if I quit a job or whatever, it didn't bother me. It didn't faze me at all. I just move on to the next job. When you broke up with a girlfriend, now sometimes, depending on that, it impacted you a little bit harder than some. But a lot of girlfriends, okay, you just move on to the next one. If you didn't make the team, okay, so what? You just move on. There are a lot of things that you and I will experience that are losses, but they're minor and we just move on from them. It's those major ones. It's the major ones that will throw you and I for a loop. It's those major ones that will knock us down. It's those major ones that will knock us down, and sometimes we're wondering, do we want to get back up again and go on? But we live and we have to move on. And so we all experience that. And then there are those times that you and I, even if it's a major loss, sometimes we can bounce back. I mean, it impacted us. Don't get me wrong. It knocked you down. But sometimes you're able to just get back up and then you just kind of move on. But sometimes it's those ones that will really knock you down. And it's those kind that you can't seem to move on. You can't seem to get up. You can't seem to get over it. You're stuck. And it's those kinds of ones that you need divine intervention in. And when I look at this last part of this story, now that they are with the other disciples and they're telling about their experience, now Jesus comes again. Now they have another resurrection appearance again, a second one. And He opens the Scriptures again, maybe differing Scriptures to them. When I look at that, I believe that you and I are able to regain hope in life again when you and I begin to believe and trust in God, trust in Jesus again for our future. You see, It wasn't over with now. Be earlier that day, it was all over with for these disciples. Their dreams were shattered. They said, we had hoped he was one, but man, it's over with. Now, hours later, I don't know how many hours, but hours later, now they're having another encounter, another experience with God, with Jesus. And now, he is filling them. And for the next 40 days, he's appearing to his disciples. And not just only just the 12 or the 11, but his other disciples as well. He is strengthening their hope, strengthening their faith in him and his resurrection, strengthening their faith in now their mission to take the message of the gospel of his death and resurrection. You see, they began now to reinvest in life again. They began to reinvest in the future again. I can tell you, I think about maybe two times that I can think of two real knockdown times that I had lost hope for my future with a certain thing. And I can tell you, when you lose hope, there's nothing left. There's nothing. When you have experienced a loss of a significant hope, a significant dream, when it's gone, it's gone. And there's nothing beyond that. Why do you think a lot of people commit suicide? Because they can't see anything further. They can't see anything future. It's gone. It's lost to them. And so you and I, in order for us to move on in the future, we have to reinvest in life again. We have to reinvest our faith, our trust in God again. And when that takes place, when God comes and restores hope again in you, it's like what that Proverbs chapter 13 said. It is a tree of life. It brings back life again. And I can tell you, when life comes back inside of you for the future, it picks you up like nothing else. It gives you motivation again for the future. It gives you hope. It gives you a future. Isn't that what Jeremiah the prophet was saying to the Israelites who were taken captive and they were taken into Babylon? Isn't that what he said to them in Jeremiah 29? He says, look, I have a hope and a future for you. Yes, it's all destroyed now, but I'll bring you back. I will give you a hope and a future. Now, I don't know where you're at in your life, and I know it's just us that are here. But you know, sometimes, and I'm going to say quite often, we don't know what each other's going through. We don't know what you're experiencing. Many times, we don't have that connection with each other that's a real strong bond. We don't have that real strong fellowship with one another because we only see each other maybe once a week or twice a week. See, the more frequent that we see each other, it builds a stronger bond with one another. The less frequent, it's not that strong. It's still very, very loose. And we don't share with each other very much what's going on in our lives because we're not close to each other. We don't have that bond, that relation with one another that really people should have in the church. And it's really because we keep ourselves away from coming together. We're too busy doing other things. And so we don't know. I don't know what you're going through. 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 You don't know what I'm going through. And sometimes we just go through things by ourselves. When really as a body, as a church, we really should come together. We really should be able to pray for each other. We should be able to lift each other up. We should be able to not be afraid to tell each other, hey, you know what, man, I had a bad week. Or you know what, I don't know, man, I think I'm in danger of losing my job. You know what, you know, all of these things going on inside of us. And so we go through it, we struggle through it by ourselves. When really as a body we should be coming together, sharing our life together, our faith together, strengthening each other. So my message, what I spoke to you today, it was real then and it's real today. And I don't know if you can say like what those disciples said, we had hoped that he was the one. We had hope that, you know, it was going to turn out this way, but it didn't turn out this way. And I am kind of downcast. I am kind of down. I am kind of depressed about my life, what happened. But you know, I need to have an experience with Jesus. I need to have hope again. And so I'm just going to give you an invitation. If you want to come to the altars, if you want to come and bring your situation to the Lord, you want to bring what you're going through, your struggle to the Lord, then do that. And we'll pray with each other. We'll pray for one another. Come on, it could be a family situation. It could be just a personal situation. Could be a work situation. Could be anything. Just bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Give it to Him. Ask the Lord to open your heart, open your understanding. Ask the Lord to to have a divine intervention in your heart. Ask the Lord to give you hope again. To give you faith again, to give you trust again.
My Savior, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith would be made stronger. The presence of our Savior, our Savior. Ooh, we place our trust in you, ooh, Lord. Oh, we rely on you. I wanna go deeper. Wanna go deeper. Oh, I place my trust in you.
I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand towards heaven, receive the blessing today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.